Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Word at Noon. Yes, I am Lewis Beasley. Apostle called by the will of God. There was something else I wanted to pray, but the Lord is telling me to pray this, my portion. To the Word at Noon. I am Lewis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God. To all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus, we are truly happy to have each and every one of you on. You got to know your portion. Why? Because we are a workmanship. Hallelujah. See, we are workmanship created in Christ Jesus. That's our portion. God did this. We didn't have to do it. God did it. We have a word of prayer. Eternal Father, we come today, and let me be real clear, because I want to talk to God, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to talk to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who we call our Father. And Jesus said we could call him our Father, which art in heaven. So our Father, which art in heaven, I thank you, because your word says in everything give thanks. So I thank you, Father God, that you let us have the mind of Christ. That's our portion. I thank you, Father God, that we're overcomers of the world. I thank you for it. I thank you, Father God, that we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. I thank you, Father God, that we've been reconciled and we became ministers of a ministry of reconciliation. I thank you for it. You didn't have to do that. But you did, and I thank you for it. I thank you, Father God, you have declared righteousness over our life. I thank you, Father God, that your righteousness is in Christ, and we are in Christ, so therefore we have your righteousness. I thank you for it. I thank you, Father God, that we can become citizens of a new creation. I thank you for it. I thank you, Father God, we're citizens of heaven. And we're seated in heavenly positions and heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I thank you, Father God, that we are part of a chosen generation. I thank you, Father God, that you're opening up the Word of God to us daily. And that's our daily bread. And I honor you for it, and I praise you for it. You're worthy to be praised. If I had 10,000 tongues, it would not be enough to thank you and praise you for what all you've done for us, even your body here on earth, Father God. Father God, we look to you now for direction. We look to you for guidance. We look to you through the direction and the teaching of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Father God, for all those that desire prayer today, that they put themselves in agreement with this word. And in the name of Jesus, we decree and declare that they're healed. We thank you, Father God, for all those that you have healed this week. I thank you for it. I thank you, Father God, for those that have a mind to learn your word. And most of all, those that have a mind to do your word. I thank you for it. These and all blessings we ask in Christ's name. And for his sake, we pray. And everybody agree with this prayer. He said, amen. Hallelujah. Okay. We're going to pick up where we left off yesterday. We're talking about trusting God's stuff, in God's stuff. And one of the things we were talking about yesterday was trusting in his righteousness. And it's two kind of righteousness, brothers and sisters. You have man's righteousness, and then you have God's righteousness. One of these days, the Lord going to let me teach on these the two. Because, see, you're living in a world where you got a choice, but now you're only going to choose one or the other. And we're going to make the decision that we're going to trust in God. And trusting in God, that means we're relying on him. We're depending on him. He's going to come through for us. We're putting it all in his hands, putting it all in his powers. We emptying everything out. And we said, Lord, if you don't direct us, we won't go. We just have to stand right here until you give us orders. Because, see, when you trust in God's stuff, it's different, brothers and sisters. It's just different. The scripture says it's different. I like the fact that we can trust in God's law. Well, you can say, well, both of them go, God's law, the law of Moses and the law of Christ. Well, not really, because the law of Moses is different than the law of Christ. So which one are you going to trust then? I'm glad you asked. I trust in the law of Christ. According to Galatians 6:2. Then we're going to pick up where we left off yesterday. But I wanted to read that because it's important that you trust in the law of Christ. Because, see, the law of Moses really is the law of sin and death. But the law of Christ, that's why I like Pastor to read, because y'all won't know it just coming from me. Pastor, if you'd be so kind to read Galatians 6:2 for us, please. You're available.
Good afternoon. And yes, Pastor, and I thank you for that prayer. Amen. And also for the song.
Amen.
Galatians 6:2. Reading from the King James. Make sure I'm in Galatians. Don't know me, I'll be in the wrong book sometime. Okay, Galatians 6:2. Bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Amen.
Yeah, see, the law of Christ, I don't know why I pulled that out, but I'm thinking that the law of Christ the law of Christ, the one that I'm looking for, is well, just how to fulfill the law of Christ is bearing one another's burden. Where with Moses, he had to bear the burden. But fulfilling the law of Christ, and that's not the one, the scripture I'm looking for. I'm looking for Christ. I think that might be in Romans 8, so I apologize. Y'all bear with me for a minute. I'm about to get it. I think it's in Romans 8. Let me try Romans 8. Well, I know it's in Romans 10, but it may be in Romans 8. Hallelujah. Praise God. The law of Christ. Well, Romans 10. Let me go there because that's why I definitely know where it's at. But that was what I'm looking for. The law of Christ that I'm looking for is, I don't know if it's in Galatians, but I want to go there. That was something that just hit my spirit. It's nothing really part of the lesson. But the law of Christ,
is it Romans 8 and 10, Pastor?
What did that say, Pastor?
It says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness.
Yeah, I'll find it right
quick. That's it either. Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking for the law of Christ. Y'all just bear with me for a minute here. I'll find it. I'll go find it right quick. What I'm looking for. Because I made a statement I'd like to finish it out. Let me show you the law. I know it's, I think it's in Romans 8. Yeah, Romans 8:2. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. Romans 2. And Romans 2:4 says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And that's what we were talking about yesterday, righteousness, having the God kind, trusting God kind of righteousness. And that is in Christ. But in Romans 8:2, for the law of the spirit of life, which is made me free. See, the law of Christ makes you free.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's when you're trusting in God stuff. It's a different. You got some people, they want to trust in the law of Moses, man. And it's not, that's not what you want. You want the law of righteousness, which is in Christ Jesus. We were talking about the two kinds of righteousness. And for some reason, I came up with the law of Christ because I know that with the law of Christ, in Galatians 2 and 21 says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, but if the righteousness came by law, then Christ is dead, death is in vain. So righteousness didn't come by law. The God kind of righteousness came by faith.
Amen.
That's how you get it. Remember, well, Pastor, fire in Galatians 2 and 16.
Okay, Pastor. 2 and 16. Reads, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Amen.
Amen. See, it's by faith, brothers and sisters. You gotta know that. You gotta know that knowing that a man is not made right, that's what justify means, made right by the works of the law. That ain't how it's done. But by faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified or made right. So the only way you can be right is to accept God's righteousness. And God's righteousness, according to the scripture, is in Christ.
Amen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
See, so for the law of the spirit of life is in Christ. For the law of the spirit of life is in Christ. My faith is in Christ Jesus, have made me free from the law of sin and death. So you free from the law of sin and death.
Thank you, Lord.
So if you can see you free, stay free.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get bungled back up in the law of sin and death. Don't do that one. You want to stay free. You're free from the law of sin and death. So let me say this. God's righteousness, or trusting God's righteousness, is far better than trusting man's righteousness, because man want to always tangle you up with this law, that law, this says this and that. And for you know it, they'll have you trying to live out of the Old Testament, and you can't do it. There's no way you can live in it out of the Old Testament. So you need to know your right, and your right. Faith, well, let me say this, because faith is a problem only to those who are ignorant of their right and privilege and their place in Christ. See? So you need to know your rights. People who don't know their rights will never understand this.
Amen.
I'm going to give you all a scripture. Over in Hebrews 1. Verses 3 and through verses 4. I'm going to ask Pastor she'll read that. Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1, 3 and verse 4. I'm going to ask her to read it out of the Messenger Bible. The King James Version read like this, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, who he had by himself purged out sin. You get that? Christ did that. That's the only way you could, that's the only way you got rid of sin. Christ purged it out. He did that. So don't be trying to work it out. Too many people are trying, well, if I do this, if I go to church, if I do this, if I don't do this, and the people have you thinking that as long as you being a doer of this stuff, you're in good standing. That would be a flat out lie. You're spinning your wheels. It's pointless. Pointless. Are you doing all that for what? It's like, if you got a bunch of money you want to give away, I'm going to give you my Cash App, just Cash App it to me. That would, it would be no different. You're doing all that work, all that energy, all that, it's for naught, it's in vain. When by faith you get righteousness. So, he said, he had purged out sin, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than angels as he had inherited and obtained a more excellent name than they.
Mm-hmm. Amen. In the Message Bible, at the end, the Son took his honored place high in the heavens right alongside God, far higher than any angel in rank and rule. Did God ever say to an angel, "You're my son, today I celebrate you," or "I'm his father, he's my son"? When he present his honored son to the world, he says, all angels must worship him. Amen.
Yeah, you see, he could have never been accepted by the Father and been given that seat at the Father's right hand unless he had made possible the new creation, which that's what we live by. We're no longer old, we're new. You got to get that. Mm-hmm. Then old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. See?
Mm-hmm.
So unless he had made it possible for the new, a perfect fellowship and a perfect standing with the Father, all who believe in him. Now, don't everybody believe in him? Listen, brothers and sisters, the Bible says over there in Hebrews 9 that he carried his own blood into the heavenly or to the holy of holiness. He did that for eternal redemption. See, before, the only redemption they had was year to year. That's why the people go to temple. They would go there year to year, every year. But this is eternal redemption. And that's another thing we're going to talk about. If we don't do it this week, we'll do it next week. And that's about your eternal. Everything should be about eternal life. Nothing should be about this life here other than you preparing for your eternal life. Only reason you're here now. See, that's another revelation you got to get. The only purpose and the only reason you came, you're here, so you can get there to your eternal life. That's the only reason you come. And you don't have to go through a whole bunch of rules and regulations, and you don't have to jump a whole bunch of hoops. All you got to do is be in Christ, man, and know that you know that you know that you're in Christ.
Mm-hmm. All right.
High priest, and that is in Christ. They had a high priest, and it was a worldly high priest. That's why I'm telling you, when it comes to righteousness, listen, brothers and sisters, rediscover what righteousness is. Righteousness is the ability to stand in the presence of the Father without condemnation. That's what righteousness is.
Mm-hmm.
It don't
all right.
Pointless. Your righteousness needs to be in Christ. It needs to exceed that of the Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pharisees, they thought as long as they prayed and go into a building and pay this and pay the tithe, that they was right. Well, your righteousness have to exceed that. Well, how is it going to do that? I'm glad you asked. By being in Christ.
Amen.
This, you got to get that definition, righteousness. So righteousness, as seen in the Pauline revelation, is the ability to stand in the presence without the sense of guilt or inferiority. You shouldn't feel inferior. That's your daddy. Why should you feel like a slave? No, that's mm-hmm. your daddy. Whereby, everybody we cry out, daddy. That's your daddy.
All right.
If anybody ever had a daddy out there, a daddy, somebody you love to cry on or see, or you're not inferior. That's your daddy. That's blood of your blood, bones of your bones. So in the spirit world, since he's our father, why should you feel like he's way there and you? No, guess what? Now I'm gonna really make it plain to you. You're so close to your daddy, you don't even know it. Spiritually. Mm. I know that. We are seated at the right-hand side of daddy.
All right.
Mm-hmm. If Christ is seated at the right-hand side, then, and you're in Christ, where that puts you?
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. But then you can't be both places. You got to accept God's righteousness, or which is by faith, or you want to accept man's righteousness. And we're talking about trusting in the Lord. You got to trust God for his righteousness with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. See, I got my understanding of what righteousness is, but that's no good. Throw that stuff in the garbage. Paul said they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They ignorant of God's righteousness and have gone about to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. This requires you have to submit. You have to submit
mm-hmm.
to God's righteousness. Well, and the way you submit is by faith, by trusting in God. That's what this is about, brothers and sisters. Trusting in God's stuff. And with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. And you have to separate that. You have to say, okay, this is the way I understand it. But let me really get in that word and get the revelation of what God is saying. Because God's righteousness is different than ours. When I read 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin to become sin for me, so I can have that righteousness. Man, I got it. I'm latching on to it, ain't letting it go. And I don't care what your optical nerve tells you. I don't care what your preacher tells you. I'm righteous because I'm in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes
Amen.
Me. I am not condemned, and I'm not going to let you spread that old garbage on me. That's venom. You ain't going to spread that on me. Well, you know you did this, and you know you did that. Man, forget that. God throw that stuff in the sea of forgiveness. And then furthermore, I'm in Christ. He don't even see me in the flesh anymore. All things are passed away. Behold, everything is new now. So that's where I want to operate, in the newness of life. Because, see, this, what you're doing now is going to take you through eternity, brothers and sisters. I hope you understand that. And last time mm-hmm. I checked, you don't need money in eternity. You don't need no clothes there. I mean, I just really had to break that thing down to my own self. What all I'm going to need in my eternal journey? Why am I carrying all mm-hmm. this extra baggage? I mean, you haven't been on trips before. I mean, I know sometimes you go on a trip and you want to take this, that, and the third. But wait a minute. Take what you need. Take what you're going to definitely need. And you're going to need things like love. You're going to need faith. You're going to need the word of God. I can tell you what you're going to need. And you're going to need to trust God. Because you don't even know what lies ahead. You don't even know there's a storm. But if you're trusting in God's word, truly trusting him, I ain't talking about in your mind. I'm talking about literally laying it out there that we've been talking about what trust really is. You know, if you really trust in God, that means you don't put that, you're entrusting him with your life. You don't have no say so. That's when you know you trust in God. Lord, whatever you show me, that's where I'm going. I'm not adding anything to it. It's all in your hand now. However it happens, yeah. See, the flesh don't want to do that because the flesh don't want to die.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the flesh don't want to die. But when you done turned it over to God, you've submitted it to God. You've given it to him. In other words, you done handed over to him. That's what trusting is. Here, you got the wheel. Now, if you done gave God the wheel, why are you trying to drive?
Okay.
If you truly trusting him, then you need to get in the word of God and then submit to his righteousness. Because that's part of righteousness. God's righteousness is to submit to his righteousness, to the way he sees it. See, because I'm going to be honest with you guys. I could never see myself righteous. I think, because all that my mind would tell me, sort of like Paul was in the 7th chapter of the book of Romans, all I could just see is what I did, and I've done this, and I wasn't feeling this. You know, a lot of times Satan tried to tell you, you got to feel righteous. But now you feel better now. It's not even about, it's about knowledge, man. Do you have the knowledge to say, well, you know what, I'm standing on your truth, Lord. You and me, Christ, my sin, thank you for paying my debt. I'll take his righteousness. I'm gone. Okay, well, this is the part where everybody get a chance. If you have any comments or something you want to say about the lesson, something you want to add, something you want to share, especially when it pertaining to the lesson, press 1. And there it is. We'll let you in. Anyway. Hallelujah.
Amen. Well, until somebody else press 1, I would like to read Hebrews 9 and verse 14 from the King James and also from the Message Bible. It says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. From the Message Bible, it says, he also bypassed the sacrifices consisting of goats and calf blood, instead using his own blood as the price to set us free once and for all. Amen.
Amen.
I just wanted to read that because you had mentioned that scripture about Christ carried his own blood.
But and thank you so much, Pastor. But here's the thing. People have to believe that. They have to trust that. That's what happened. So if that's what happened, the bill is paid. Don't be trying to pay the car note if I've already went down there and paid. You're going to look stupid.
Mm-hmm.
You asked me to pay the bill, I paid it for you. Now you're going to go down there and pay it.
Mm.
Your sin bill is paid. Now, I don't expect everybody to understand that unless you get in the spirit and you accept it. And if you accept it, then you live like that. You ain't going to run down there and pay the bill. Hey, man, my water bill paid. I ain't going down there. Why would I go down there? For what? That's pointless. I'm not going down there. The bill is paid.
Yeah.
Well, that's the attitude we got to have when it comes to the things of God. You got to know that Christ paid that already. You can't go to church enough, can't go to a building enough. You can't, you don't have enough money. You don't have enough offering. See, all that's flesh. That's what man wants. That's what the God of this world wants. You got to get past that and let this become a reality and say, you know what, Lord? You're right. I accept Jesus' blood for to pay for all the sin.
Amen.
You trust in God because, hey, you ain't trying to do nothing else. When I done gave it to you and I'm truly trusting you, hey, it's over. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, brothers and sisters, you're only going to be justified or made right by the law of Christ. And Christ is the end of the law. Now, it ain't for everybody. It's for righteousness, those that walk in righteousness, in his righteousness.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
See, if righteousness could come by what you do, or righteousness could come by the law, then Christ shed his blood, it was pointless. Shed his blood for nothing. Can't be justified by no law. And that simply meaning you're doing this, doing that, doing according to this. No, your faith or your trust is in the word of God. That, hey, Lord, you did it for me. Thank you. And I'm going to continue to walk in that that word. I'm going to continue to walk in that spirit. I'm going to continue to walk in the light as you're in the light. I'm not looking for darkness. I'm looking for light now. You're the father of light. I'm looking for light. I'm looking for goodness.
Yeah.
Because I know my flesh ain't going to tell me to do nothing good. And I know, listen, brothers and sisters, I know we are at a time right now where everybody think it's real good because everybody giving, they give. Oh, man, the world is just really in a good place, in a good spirit. Everybody giving. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, I'd hate to be the bearer of bad news. That's the world system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I know some of y'all say, well, Pastor, I don't see nothing wrong. I didn't say nothing was wrong with it. It was just like when Adam and Eve was in the garden. There was a tree of good and evil. God knew it was good. He said, yeah, it's good, but so what? But in the good, there's evil. You may not see it. You may not understand it. So God said, yeah, I know it's good, but don't eat it. I told you, don't eat it. The tree is good, good and evil, but don't eat it. Now, because it's good don't mean you eat it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't eat it. Got something better for you. That's what I'm trying to tell you. God wants us, he got something better for us than just good. That great is better than good. But if you'll never see beyond good, you'll never see greatness.
All right.
You want to be great. You don't just want to be good. Good is average. Good is okay. Yes, a good thing, but is it a great thing? See? It's a great thing when you accepted the blood of Christ and what God did. That's how you get your eternal life. Man, I accepted what God did in the man Christ Jesus. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else?
I just say amen.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, amen. Yeah. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Well, if not, we'll see you all on the Wednesday.